You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Although it won't be daily as we start to cruise into the dead of the offseason. July is slowly coming to an end, and so too will be the topics for us to discuss. Although this week, the Celtics are expected to introduce Kemba Walker, so there will be a topic there. And then who knows what else will come up. So we'll be here for this week, and then we'll see what happens. So if for some reason a day goes by and you don't hear a podcast or you don't see one dropped, it's just nothing to talk about. So just be prepared. We're in that time of year. We're the Raider Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined today by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
J.A.M.
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam.
Young baby Jamwich.
Jam. Jam. Jam.
And there was one more I keep forgetting that Jay brought up. Because it was a
Jay. Yeah, he liked it. Oh, God, Jam God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll leave that one up to him.
Sure, why not?
I don't know. Hey, it's been a while, man. How you been?
It's been good. I didn't make it to Summer League this year. Instead, I was up on a lake in Maine, watching Summer League like the rest of us, you know, like just being an indoor kid while everyone else is having fun on the lake. But yeah, the Summer League Celtics, it turns out they're a lot of fun.
It's fun
to have a bunch of scrappy young guys who have some talent and aren't just upset the whole time. And there's the whole Taco Fall guy. That guy's fantastic.
So why don't we, because we haven't heard your impressions, you know, we've talked about it. I have with Tom Westerholm, with Jay King and all those. What do you think there? I mean, these guys, I know that it's been fun. A lot of people have had fun watching this group. I think because last season, the way it ended, the way the whole thing went, it was nice for Boston fans to sit there and have something nice, fun, exciting, people trying hard out there wearing that green.
Oh, yeah. As a proponent of sports optimism, it was just good to get back to fun posts and memes and just having a good time with your friends online. I mean, just seeing the picture of Taco Fall and Carson Edwards, that was just was excellent meme fodder. Just Carson Edwards' giant thighs alone, I think. I've been really trying to start calling him meat buckets because he can score very well, and he's got meaty thighs. And so just getting back to the posting with friends was great Summer League feeling. I think that's my biggest takeaway from Summer League is that this Carson Edwards guy can really shoot the rock. And not only can he shoot, he's a very willing shooter. And it's fun to see that in Summer League. I don't know how well that's going to translate to the NBA because I feel like he took some, let me say, questionable threes or threes in early in the shot clock that may not be the greatest shot, but we know that's kind of where the games are headed. And so if you can knock him down, you're going to want him to shoot. So I was just mostly impressed by just his ability to score and create shots for himself, I think, is the most important skill. Just because I don't think the Celtics have really had a guy who can do that or a guy you would even want doing that. I know Terry Rozier tried to do that kind of in that backup guard role last year, and that upset the majority of people. But I think Edwards has a chance to make an impact. Out of all the guys we saw, he's felt like the most NBA ready. And I know it's like with Summer League, you don't want to get carried away, but He scored buckets. He could get buckets with ease, and I feel like that translates just at least like the shooting prowess. So I think that's something to be excited about. But beyond that, I don't know like what the true impact of these guys will be on the actual NBA roster, because there's a lot of more talented players who are ahead of them on the depth chart.
Well, Edwards is an interesting guy because he'll go out there and certainly shoot willingly, very willingly. But that's not a bad thing. As Kara Lawson put it, and I think she was talking to Tom Westerholm about this, you'd rather rein them in than try to coax it out. You know, it's almost like the inverse of Kelly Olynyk, where you're just like, just shoot the damn ball. We want you shooting the ball. And it's just impossible sometimes to draw that out of a player when he's just reluctant to do so. Edwards is out there, locked and loaded, ready to pull up off a screen, ready to catch and shoot. They ran some nice plays where he would try to like fake as if he was going to cut baseline, plant, cut right back door. There's a screen waiting for him, and he just catches it, turns. He's square. Those tree trunk legs of his can stop him on a dime, and he squares up, and he shoots, and it has a good chance of going in. That is a skill that will translate at any level. Shooters that can shoot and can hit consistently from that range have some place in the NBA. Now, are you going to be Seth Curry, or are you going to be, I don't know, not Steph Curry, but you know what I mean? Like, so he has an opportunity. I can totally see an opportunity for him where the Celtics are cold. They're looking for somebody to come in and hit shots. And Brad says, you know what? Get in there, Carson. See what you can do. But I happen to think that Grant Williams has a much better chance to make an impact right away versus Edwards. I think Grant does enough of the little things that Brad Stevens will love, the impacts winning type things, that I think he's just got the better chance of getting the minutes, because he'll set the screens, he'll make the passes, he'll box out and rebound. He's not going to be a guy that you throw in there and you're going to be afraid that he'll be too selfish and he'll be looking for his own stuff first. He's going to go in there and he's going to look to make the team better, whatever that is.
He also has the advantage of roster construction. I mean, just the Celtics are very thin up front. You have to replace the minutes that Horford gave you, Morris and Aaron Baines, whereas kind of like the only minutes up for grabs, I guess, in the guard spot would be Terry Rozier. So I would agree. I think that Grant Williams will probably play more just because it feels like all the things you mentioned, doing the dirty work. He needs to improve his closeouts. I don't know what's going on with those, but I think he can do that. And you're right. It will be interesting to see if he's, because I felt like there's a lot of his summer league offense was coming up with like kind of just weird shots at the like in the free foul line extended, that seemingly went into summer league, but it just feels like he's kind of an undersized four. And I don't know if he's going to be able to pull off some of the offensive stuff he did in summer league, but he clearly, like with the crazy plus minus and taking charges left, right, and knocking people over, just on like tagging on screen and rolls, he's going to be doing the small things on the defensive end. It's just, I don't know. The Celtics front court is certainly worrisome, because it feels like they have a lot of big guys who can do a couple things well, but not a lot of big guys who can do everything well. And so I think it's going to be a lot of small ball and a lot of mixing and matching. But considering that what Grant Williams does, I think he's certainly going to be one of the options in there, just like to slide in that small ball five or even four.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if in the early part of the preseason that Brad tries some of Grant with the regular starters like Kemba. And I don't know what the actual regular starters are going to be, if it's going to be all three of Tatum, Brown, and Hayward, or if it's going to be two of those guys and then however else they want to construct their team. Maybe you start Smart and Enes Kanter or whatever. But like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Kemba, two of those three wings, Grant Williams, and a big, one of those bigs, Cantor or whatever, to you know, for a few minutes just to see what Grant can do when he's surrounded by that level of talent. Like, he did a good job trying to quarterback guys that he's only been teammates with for a week and guys that were there. There were plenty of instances of people going off and doing selfish things. So once everybody really is on the same page and everybody has the same common goal, I'm curious to see exactly what he'll be able to do. But I think Grant Williams has a good chance. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll discuss more of the Summer League and the Celtics. And then later on, we'll talk a little bit about the NBA. As we head to break, you know Millie's. He's the guy that does our intro. He just dropped another album, Blanco 2. So we're going to give you a little taste. Here's a little bit of Reload off the new Blanco 2. We're coming right back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Remember the nights stressing. I look at my life a blessing. I had to get by finessing. I had to get mine aggressive. Look at the signs of message. Look at the guys be reckless. Putting that pain excessive. I cut that bitch off possessive. If I crack a seal, I'm pouring. If I pop a bean, I'm rolling. Gun with the beam, I'm loading. Run down on me, I'm going. I had to fight for all this. Now I'm with the ice, it's flawless. Life is a bitch, gorgeous. So I had to hit. Big sauce, big drip. Forever. Splash. Yeah, me and money got a bond. Me and lames don't mix. Ain't a king, you a pawn. I'm really with the shits. I could hit her off charm. I ain't gotta spend shit. Every day like the prom. Big sauce, big drip. Big.
That's another track from Millie's. It's called The Prom. That's off his new album, Blanco 2. Go check it out. It's available everywhere music exists for sale. So check it out. Go ahead and support local artists. It only costs like $9.49 on Google Play. What I like to do is buy it and then I'll stream it so we can get the extra streaming money. Just because, you know, supporting a local artist. All right, so that was The Prom. Blanco 2, go pick that up. Let's continue our conversation. We talked about Carson Edwards. We talked about Grant Williams a little bit. We haven't seen Romeo Langford, so who knows what he's going to be. But we have seen Tremont Waters. First of all, just want to send our thoughts out to the Waters family, the tragedy. His father, obviously, if you haven't heard, committed suicide a couple days ago, and they're dealing with this tragedy. So our thoughts go out to the Waters family. You've heard me talk about that topic. So obviously, it's a very tough thing that they're dealing with. He played. After hearing that, he wrote a message on his shoe, went out there and played. He had an impressive summer league. He is a pass first point guard. They were talking, Sam, about how he and Carson Edwards actually fit together. That can't be a backcourt on an actual NBA team. You can't have a 5'11 guy and a 6 foot guy playing next to each other for any extended stretches of time. But I'm really curious to see exactly what Tremont Waters is going to be. Brad Stevens talked about him and raved, like, and he's right. Said the game just comes naturally to him. He's savvy. He knows, like, he feels as comfortable out there. Like, he looks comfortable, like, more comfortable than just about any player I've seen in summer league. He's just cool. And the only question is, will his height be a deterrent at the next level?
I don't think so. I think he really has a chance to be, to, like, give Brad Wanamaker a run for his money for backup point guard role. He reminds me entirely based on height, a lot of Shane Larkin, but he felt like he was always making the right play, very aggressive of like getting into the paint, but being able to make the right pass out of that. It seemed like he was very pesky on the defensive end, which I like to see. It's kind of amazing that the Celtics were able to get him, I think, at 51. He only worked out with actually two teams. I think it was the Celtics and the Bucks. Apparently just killed the Celtics workout, and they loved him and didn't think he was going to be available there. And so I was very impressed with what he did, and I think he can compete with Wanamaker. I also like that he was able to knock down the three a little bit just because that's going to make his life easier. And so I think on a two-way contract, that's what I'm imagining he's going to get. He's going to be a very good player in Maine, and I think it's just a nice like ball handling option, because right now, who knows about injuries or anything like that. It's just he'd be a nice kind of competition for Wanamaker as the backup kind of facilitator, because right now it's either Marcus Smart, and I imagine they're going to be doing a lot of playing with Kemba Walker, so you're going to want some sort of that bench position. And I think, you know, he's just a solid young talent. I agree about the height being, I guess, his biggest issue, but he came to play, and I was just impressed with him the entire time.
Yeah, he really was very impressive, and he was very good at just setting guys up for passes. You know, there were times where he was driving, and he had Robert Williams. You just knew he had Robert Williams. He knew it, and he was still able to draw the defense and find a way to get them out of the way enough for Williams to get a clean look at a lob. And that is, I think, a great skill for a point guard to have. He's got the vision. He puts the ball where it needs to be. He's quick. He's extraordinarily good. And I think, a lifetime over a lifetime of being small, you have to be shifty. He's good at changing speeds, changing directions, getting a defender off balance just enough where his momentum just goes one way a little bit, and he's just shook. He's frozen. And Waters is able to get a shot off, get to the rim, whatever. So I think he's got great skills. One point I want to bring up. We're talking about Edwards. We're talking about Waters, two guys that performed well at Summer League. We'll see what they are for real. Both second-round picks. The Kemba Walker sign-and-trade, when I asked Celtics people why they did the sign-and-trade, they said, well, we didn't just get Kemba Walker. We got a second-round pick. And that second-round pick, you're looking at it. People ask me, why did they do it? Why did they only do it for a second round pick? Well, here you go. This is it. You know, that's another, as they say, bite at the apple. Tremont Waters, Carson Edwards, second round picks. You never know where that second round pick's going to land. And they have value. So I think it's important to note, it's important to make note that as we're talking about these second round picks being impressive, the Celtics being able to pick up these second round picks and why they do go get these elements, these assets, like this is why, because you never know what you're going to get with those picks.
Yeah, it's like Tremont Waters may never make it in the NBA, but you get a chance to look at him, you get a chance to bring him into your system, put him on your summer league team, maybe put him on your G League team. It's just like another chance to evaluate talent and get guys in, and it feels like a no-brainer. People talk about it the teams like the Sixers overvaluing them and just collecting them, but there's definitely value in that, and why not just try and like bring new guys in? The Celtics had a lot of roster upheaval. They knew they were going to have to bring in a number of rookies just to kind of like complete the roster, and so it makes a lot of sense, and for them to get him at 51 or 52, whatever it was, just 51. seems pretty wild, because he was a pretty successful player at LSU. And I've just been, hopefully I think he ends up with that last two-way contract, because I think it'd be cool to see him both in Maine playing with, what's the other guy's name? He's a dreamboat. Max Struss.
Max Struss. I think it's Struss.
He didn't do much, but man, he's got a good-looking face. He can shoot.
Another pretty boy who can shoot.
That's what the league's just turning into. Hot guys who can shoot. There's one more thing I want to talk about Summer League, which was Dime Lord. Huh? Robert Williams throwing dimes all across the court. I was not prepared for that. I know people, like I said, he could pass. I certainly didn't see him doing a lot of that when he was in games and with the Celtics last year. I saw a guy who would kind of stand at the elbow and not really know what to do with the basketball. And he kind of looked lost on offense a bunch. And out here in Summer League, he just looked like much more comfortable as a playmaker, throwing cross-court passes and just had passing vision that I didn't know about. So I'm here for Planet Dime Lord. That stuff's fantastic.
I like the morph into Dime Lord. That would be amazing. There is, like, first of all, let me just say, the passing stood out right away. He had a couple of nice passes, nice pocket passes. He displayed the passing. It was very impressive throughout the course of Summer League. Some of those passes from the post across the court may not make it against actual NBA players. However, that's why I think, and why I wrote on Mass Live, he needs to go out there and get 30 to 35 minutes somehow. And if it's not going to be with the Celtics, which I doubt he's going to come in his second year after they signed Cantor and all these guys, I doubt he's going to go out there and get 35 minutes with the Celtics, which means get him to Portland, get him on the Red Claws, get him playing 30, 35 minutes so he can figure out where those passes work at another level of competition. Because that's going to be really, really important. If he can go out there in the high post, which he says he loves doing, which is something they did a lot of in Summer League, and run those dribble handoffs or fake the dribble handoff like Al Horford always used to, excuse me, and find somebody on the other side or run a pick and roll, hand it off, and then set a screen. Any of those things that gets him rolling, passing, seeing the floor, doing the things that he likes to do and is very good at, like all of that stuff is going to be great. He just needs the time, the reps to go play, and I can't stress this enough. I do not think that he is going to have a good season or a good career if he doesn't come out there this season and play significant minutes and foster those skills. Like, he needs to play.
Now, this is like a, I think a classic debate is like, are 16 minutes a game in the NBA worth more than 30 minutes a game in the G League? Because I think, I mean, no one last year, only Kyrie and Tatum played more than 30 minutes a game. And no one really plays that much on the Celtics. I know that the team will be a little bit have less depth this year, and so probably the minutes will be spread around. But even Aaron Baines last year only played 16 minutes a game. There's not a lot of bigs who are playing that many minutes. I think the Time Lord has the ability to make an impact on the Celtics roster. And I kind of see him as the main backup big to Enes Kanter at that point. But if he's going to be a full-time player on the Celtics, which I think that maybe makes the most sense to me at this point, he's not going to get as much playing time. And maybe it's shuffling him around and going to Maine and getting 30 minutes in when he can get a chance. But I just think the Boston, the bigs are, the lineup is so, there's not enough guys there that you're kind of need him to be there full time.
I don't know. I think I'd rather see the Celtics try to make do with the other three guys, with Cantor, with Poirier, and with Daniel Tice. I mean, I think they're going to have to play Tice some because he's their only stretch big. And if they're going to want to pull some other bigs off the floor, out of the paint, they're going to need Tice to spread the floor as a threat from three. So even if he's a little bit better than Daniel Tice, let's say, or Poirier, I would rather spend until the All-Star break or so getting him to Maine and playing full starter minutes with the Red Claws and dealing with it on the Celtics. Just let the other guys figure it out. It's only a few months, and quite frankly, I'm not banking this on being a championship season anyway. So get that kid up to Maine, get to the All-Star break, see what he's learned. And then from there, in Maine, he's going to have the focused coaching. He's going to have the minutes to make mistakes and not worry about, am I going to get pulled if I make mistakes? Like, the only reason he gets pulled if he's playing lazy and he's slacking for whatever reason. But if he screws up, they're going to leave him in there. So he does that. He gets the coaching. He gets practice reps. I think that's all much more important than 10 minutes of maybe I block a shot in, you know, especially this season for the Celtics. So after the All-Star break, if he's got that confidence and he's learned a bunch of things, and you say, okay, let's apply that to the stretch run, and then maybe we'll see what if that works. Now you've got a guy for the playoffs that could be maybe a little bit of a difference maker. But I would rather see that plan than just keeping him and playing 10, 15 minutes off the bench from the jump.
Yeah, I think it's one of the benefit. I mean, total sports optimism lens. Good thing they're not competing for a championship year this year, because now they can fully develop Time Lord and uninterruptedly.
It's it's a good thing they're not competing for a championship this year. That is absolute sports optimism at its best. Before we take the break, because we're going to come back, I'm going to talk about Mook's situation with Clutch Sports. Thoughts on Taco Fall?
Oh, man, he's electric. He just when he dunks without jumping, it's insane. He can run like a gazelle. It's just like I don't get how he's 300 pounds. Like, he looks so skinny, but I guess when you're 7'7", that's absolutely insane. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it works, but I know I want more of it. And so if they can get him to Maine, I think I'll go to a lot more Red Claws games. I just like him being like the last guy active just to guard late inbounds. Like, that would be fantastic. He can play less than 30 seconds a game, but that's just a huge, huge individual. And he seems like a pretty cool dude as well, and a big fit. Oh, my God. Can't get enough Taco.
Taco was a phenomenon. I mean, people friggin' love this guy, man. They just chants the – and he took it in stride, man. He really – I'll be honest. Okay, I know how this is going to sound. I'm going to sound old and bitter. Like, I felt some of the chants kind of crossed into, like, let's look at this sideshow kind of, like, and I don't like that. I don't like that. But he takes it all in stride. Like, he understands, hey, look, this is who I am. This is what I am. At, you know, 7.5 feet tall, people are this is what you're going to get. Like, even the first Celtics media session with him, like, half of it was like, geez, where do you find clothes that fit? Like, every time he talks to somebody, that's got to be, like, the first question that he's asked. But he gets it, and he went out there, and he played, and he did fairly well, better than I expected. I don't know what their plan is for him. I do know that you don't have to have a plan for him just yet. Don't know what you're up against this summer. He's going to come to camp and they'll figure it out from there. They haven't officially signed Tremont Waters to the two-way contract. They've agreed to a two-way contract with him, and they could sign it and just upgrade it. That's fine. It's possible that with that Yabu spot out, that they could upgrade Waters and give Taco the two-way if they wanted. They could also cut Taco and stash him in Maine and have him just be the property of the Celtics in Maine for the year. That's something that's possible, depending on if he's into that idea. So we'll see. But yeah, certainly a phenomenon, certainly worth a look at developing a little bit. Why don't we take a break? And as we go to break, a little bit more from Blanco 2, the new album from Millie's. Millie's, if you don't remember, is the guy that does our intro. So Blanco 2 in stores now. Here is Thumb Through off of Blanco 2. Dump, dump, dump through the check. I just blew it back off of one Percocet. Pop a Adderall just to wake up in the AM. Know we got that grippy. If they run up, we gon' land. Whoa. Yeah, yeah, thumb through that check. Popping Adderall and I'm blowing out her back. Myself a boss and my youngin' at your neck. Bought that bitch a wristwatch cause she said she for the sick. Look, my first car was $500. Bitches used to laugh. Remember breaking down the Central and them bitches called a cab. Sleeping in Woodrow Wilson, had my bed on the floor. In our breaks, we've been playing music from Millie's new Blanco 2. It is available wherever music is available for purchase. That was Talking to Strangers, one of my favorite tracks off the new album, Blanco 2. Go check that out. I got it on Google Play for less than $10. Super cheap. It's a good album. Support the local artists. If you're into rap music, check it out. It's really good shit. And Millie's is awesome. And, yeah, do that. All right. We're going to finish up the show with a little discussion about Marcus Morris, who we
Mook
fired his agent. His agent happens to be past tense to be Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, the guy who engineered the Anthony Davis trade, LeBron James agent and longtime friend. Okay. So it came out today via Stephen Bondi of the New York Daily News that Mook actually had a guaranteed offer of $41 million from the LA Clippers. Don't know if that was a three-year deal, a four-year deal, or what. That we don't know. So if it was a four-year deal, I can see potentially maybe turning that down. But whatever. It was a guaranteed $41 million. Then, who knows what the time frame is, but the Spurs come along with a two-year $20 million offer. So somehow it feels like there was a misreading of the market. And then in the midst of agreeing to the two-year $20 million offer, the Knicks redid a contract, Reggie Bullock, and opened up some more money. And now Mook gets a one-year $15 million contract from the Knicks. After agreeing to that and signing that contract, he fired his agent. That feels like Mook was not properly represented over the course of this summer.
Yeah, that those three contracts just seem to make no sense in the world. And it feels like the difference between what I'm guessing, given the other contracts, would be a four-year $41 million deal and a one-year $15 million deal is insane. Like, it's like, do you want the long-term stability or do you want as much money as possible up front? It really is something I've not heard about in the NBA, and it's all sorts of wacky snacks. Why would he turn down a $41 million from the Clippers? Maybe this was before the Kawhi and PG stuff, but it feels like that's, I mean, this is, it's all sorts of wackiness. It just doesn't make sense. You just don't see this happening with other players in the NBA. And, I don't get it. I wish the best for Mook. Seems like he's doing cool things with his, Family Over Everything charity. That's all he's posting about on Instagram this summer. I'm glad he's hopefully happy with his new contract, but bizarre stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, and you can only speculate at this point, so it's hard to say. But, you know, people are saying the wildest things because, you know, here was a guy going to the Clippers. Why did he turn down $41 million? Now, it could have been a three-year deal. It could have been a four-year deal. Whatever it was, certainly was not a two-year deal because that would have eaten into – they would not have been able to sign Kawhi. But I think with a three- or a four-year deal, they had the money to still do the other stuff. I don't know why that would be turned down. I would expect that if that was turned down, you don't fire your agent if it was your choice to turn it down. I feel like in that situation, and this is just a guess, that he comes to Mook with that offer and says, I can do better than this. Don't bother with this offer. I can get you better than this offer. And in that case, Marcus Morris would say, okay, yeah, if you can do better than 3 years, $41 million, then yeah, get me whatever you keep. Let's do it. I don't know that Mook turns that down without some feeling that he could do better than that this offseason. Now he might end up getting more because after the $15 million, he now goes into free agency next summer and there's not a lot of great players there. And he, if he has a decent season, could make himself a little bit of money. And if he gets another contract in that range, in that $40 million range, then it all works out. But I feel like the firing of the agent made it seem like something bad happened, and people are speculating that it had something to do with LeBron, and LeBron didn't want Marcus Morris in L.A. or didn't want him in.
I don't want you in my city.
Yeah, I don't want you. Like, what if Rich Paul steered him away from the Clippers because it would have made the Clippers too good, and he didn't want the Clippers to be better than the Lakers? Not that, I don't know. That's just guess. That's just me bullshitting. But, like, that's something that's out there as far as, like, I've seen a lot of people saying that was, they believe that that's what happened.
You know, it's the cool thing, though, about Mook is that probably we'll find out exactly what happened on Knicks Media Day. He's not going to, he'll tell us exactly, and won't hold back. It's going to be fun to see him for at least four games a year. I'm kind of glad he's on a team that can't really hurt the Celtics, but we still get to see Mook play because he's a fantastic individual. Huh. Big fan.
I wonder when Knicks Media Day is. Maybe I'll go to that.
If it's
on a different day than the Celtics Media Day?
Get the scoop from Mook. There you go.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he'll recognize me, but like, hey, dude, what happened to you? And see if he'll tell me. Because that would be awesome. Because Mook doesn't give a shit. He'll tell you
no.
exactly what happened, which would be awesome. That's going to be – I'll put that on my notebook. And, you know, never know. All right. That's a podcast. We've completed a podcast, an approximately 35-minute one. That's a nice, solid podcast. Gets you to work. Gets you to whatever you're doing. Gets you through a workout. Or at least 35 minutes of a workout. So hope you've enjoyed it. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome aboard. We enjoyed having you here. We're going to pretend that we actually knew that you were here and say we enjoyed it. Please subscribe wherever podcast exists, however you found us. If it was through Twitter, you could always follow us on Twitter at @raining_Jays. You could also subscribe wherever podcast exists. And give us a 5-star rating. Give us a good review. Share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.